2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. It is Unrivaled 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keurig, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us on the program. We got G2G Bars here at the General RV at Point of the Mountain. Just dumped them all out on the table. If you want to try one, if you haven't had a G2G protein bar yet, give it a shot. We got the peanut butter coconut chocolate, got some almond coconut. So dang good. Jazz gear and deals to be had here at the General RV. It's our final trip to General RV this season. Good timing, too, because we got the snow out today. You got the winter advisory. I love winter advisories. I just love that we're getting dumped on. It's awesome. So come out and see some deals. You know what the snow means? You can get it's kind of the slow season here at General RV, so they want to move some stuff off the lot. They're going to make some deals for you, so let's get this thing going. Let's jump into the program here with the cut as JJ from TV is going to join us and give us his thoughts on a packed weekend in sports here in the state of Utah. So let's jump into the cut.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut and the show presented by G2G Bars. Protein packed, additive free, preservative free. Find them in the refrigerated section of your Associated Foods, Costco, Holiday Oil, and Maverick. Check them out. G2GBar.com as well. Jeremiah Jensen from KSL 5 Television joining us. He's at the studio. We're at the General RV here. JJ, quite a weekend in sports, brother.
Wow, where do you start? I mean, so much to talk about. Throw something at me. Let's go.
Yeah, let's start first with Ituiaki and walking away from his defensive coordinator position at BYU. I would imagine there are going to be some more changes coming down the pike as well.
That's possible. I think any time, you know, college football, especially college coaching, it's cutthroat, and it's what have you done for me lately? And, you know, if things don't go the way that a team wants, changes have to be made, right? And so I think BYU looks at their season, especially defensively, and they have to say, you know what, wasn't good enough. And we're going into the Big 12. We've got to get better. We got to be better defensively. We got to get in better players here. So change, I think, is inevitable, and I think we just saw the first domino. I hate that, you know, we have to remember that these are human beings that have families and they have a livelihood. Yeah. They're just like all the rest of us. They're just trying to make a living and do the best they can in something that they're good at. So and Eliza Tuiaki is such a great person. You won't hear anybody say anything negative about him. So from that standpoint, I hate to see a change being made there, but I also know, and I'm sure he knows, this is a business, And if you're looking at it from a business point of view, it's probably time for a change at BYU on that side of the football. And you're right, it could be more changes. I don't know. But BYU can't be status quo. They cannot. They can't be like this next year and beyond. They have to make some changes, I think, in the way they do things and in their coaching staff. And I think this is the first domino.
There have been a few names that have come up as potential candidates for that defensive coordinator position. Who do you think would fit there? What type of person? Who do you like?
Oh, there's probably a lot of names. I'm not sure if I have one on the top of my head that I think is like a slam dunk. But I think you've got to look at someone that has experience as a defensive coordinator, that's a proven recruiter, that's very experienced. I don't know that you can bring somebody in. Well, you know what? Maybe let me backtrack that a little bit. Maybe you can. Maybe you do find somebody that's young and has a lot of drive and motivation, that knows the program really well. Maybe you're looking at somebody like Jan Jorgensen. Maybe he's ready to make that jump. Everybody knows Jan and loves Jan, and that's somebody that's on the staff right now that they maybe could look at as somebody. And he's done it at the JUCO level. He has experience as a defensive coordinator, so it wouldn't be his first defensive coordinator opportunity. But maybe that's the route you go. Or, like I said, you go that other route. I think you could take either route, and you might find a person in either way that could give you what you need. But whoever it is, it has to come in and have an energy about them and a drive about them that's going to help them make a push in the Big 12. They've got to be just outrageously good recruiting. They have to go out and get dudes. I mean, you got to have a lot of guys up front in the Big 12 to be able to win it at a high level in that league, and they're going to have to do a little bit better job of recruiting, and they're going to need somebody that's really good at that. So I think recruiting would be number one when I'm looking at a defense coordinator, because Kalani Sitake is as good a defense coordinator as you're going to find, is already the head coach. So if right. you're going to lean one way or the other, I think you got to find a master recruiter.
Do you like the name of Jay Hill?
Oh, boy. I mean, that would be a home run. Jay Hill's an outstanding head coach, and he's doing a great job at Weber State. Would Jay want to make a move back to Power 5 football as an assistant, as a defense coordinator? I have no idea. But, if Jay Hill wants to make that move, that would be a home run hire.
I think that, his name's been thrown around there, but, I think there's one thing to just say guys' names. There's another to go. The rumors are out there, which is also something that we've heard. But, this is such a crucial time, too, as you go into the Big 12. Are they able to really – when you talk about all the changes that BYU's made, and we heard so much in the offseason when it talked about, how BYU's making a bigger financial commitment to this, and they're making kind of Big 12 commitment. But in BYU's world, that's a little different than, other Big 12 programs in terms of the money. So are they going to be able to pony up the same way that other
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big 12 programs are right now.
That's to be seen. I think that will be determined. I'm not even sure the revenue share structure, how much BYU gets paid relative to the other teams. Clearly, they're going to be behind. And I think that's the challenge that BYU's always had, is they're never going to have the same level of pay as some of these other schools. They're just different. They do things differently. So that is a challenge. But there's also a lot of coaches out there that see BYU as a great place to be, where there's probably a little bit more stability than other coaching situations. So I think that's also attractive. So hopefully BYU can find a balance there. But they definitely have to step up. When it comes to coach pay, they've got to take it another level if they want to compete in the Big 12. Coach, assistant coaches, head coaches, it all matters, and especially in recruiting. You've got to have coaches that can go out there and get dudes. And so if that's what they have to do, they've got to find a way to pay guys competitively with other Big 12 assistants.
So is it a recruiter these days, or is it like an accountant? Like because money's got to play into it. Like these players today, they're all going to go. So are you a guy that goes? I mean, what do they do to recruit guys? They go, whoever the defensive coordinator, your recruiting budget is. You can offer a guy up to, you know, $2 million, or you can only go to $50,000 or whatever. You know, if you're a 2-star guy, you get, maybe it's tiered. You know, 2-star guys get 20, 3-star guys maybe get 100, and 4 or 5, you know, 5 guys maybe they're $1 million. I don't know, but I wonder how all that will play into this.
You know, Scott, I do not envy coaches today in this new world of NIL, because you already had a difficult job in managing young men who are still trying to figure out who they are and make mature decisions, right? And now you throw in the mix the fact that these guys can get paid, which I'm all for. I absolutely am all for it. But there's just no control or management, right? It's the wild, wild west, it feels, where you look – I'm not privy to all the situations, but just from what I've heard, you know, this can cause problems in a locker room. And so you already had issues in the past that you had to massage and deal with, and now you've got this, and now you're trying to go out there and you're trying to compete with these other Power 5 schools for recruits, and they may have bottomless budgets. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you're trying to go get some kid from Utah you really want to get, but Alabama comes in and the bag man shows up, and now it's all legal, right? And so how do you compete with that if you're BYU? I think that's a big challenge. And so, yeah, I don't envy these guys that have to try to figure this out and try to help these kids, you know, find the best NIL opportunities they possibly can without creating this massive imbalance of your locker room of these 2-3 guys are making 6-figure salaries and these other guys are still making what guys did 5 years ago. You know what I mean? It can cause all kinds of ripples in a locker room. So it's a new world out there. But, yeah, there's an added dimension to that. What can you promise a student-athlete when he comes to your school? What can you do to entice him to come here when you're competing with other schools where they're throwing at, you know, $50,000 cars at them and $200,000? I mean, it's crazy what some people are being offered now in the transfer portal. And how are you dealing with the transfer portal? You've got to not only try to go out and get guys in transfer portal, you got to keep your own guys from joining the transfer portal. It's just, it's nuts. And I don't envy these coaches. They have a more difficult job now than they ever did.
JJ, I mean, Utah, are we fully appreciating how wild it is that the circumstances for them to be able to get into the Pac-12 championship game this weekend? And historically, like, I mean, if Utah ends up beating USC this weekend, where would this be on the list of insanity of things that have just been wild for this team over the last couple of years?
Our Utah fans, you know, 2004 was special, 2008 was special, but this is the golden age of Utah football to make the Pac-12 championship game basically 4 straight years. So we're not going to count 2020. That year's thrown out. Utah has been in the Pac-12 championship game for 4 straight years. They've won one of them, and now they have a chance to do it against a team that is trying to get into the college football playoff, who may have a Heisman Trophy winner as their quarterback. And I think they've got a great chance to go win this game. And what a trip that would be to see all the ups and downs of the season and what felt like so many missed opportunities. You finally in this point where you have it all in front of you right now. This is all you wanted at the start of the year, right? Obviously, there were some higher expectations, perhaps a college football playoff, perhaps Utah being where USC is right now. But every year, you're trying to win a championship and go to the Rose Bowl. And all you need to do is beat a team you already beat in order to make that happen. Right. I mean, if you're a Utah fan, you have got to be absolutely thrilled. You had a 15% chance on Friday, and now you're there. And this team just has to go take care of business against a team that they have to be confident going into this game. I'm sure they respect the heck out of Caleb Williams and that entire team, but they've already beat them. So you're in a great position. If you're a Utah fan, I mean, this is just absolute bliss, and it could get even better on Friday.
You know, USC is like the Darth Vader of the Pac-12. Like, oh. Just the hated.
Just the worst.
You know, and they've just made it worse on themselves. And it certainly would be such an incredible win. But you've got a defense that's just continued to get better and better and better since they actually played USC the last time. And it's just going to be a fascinating matchup, you know, where I think this will be the toughest challenge that USC has faced, even the last time that they faced Utah defensively. Offensively, you know, Utah's pretty banged up. I'm not sure how healthy Cam Rising is, but yeah, I mean, it's just going to be an incredible game to watch this happen. So I know. I mean, I'm just so excited about this game, and I feel really good about it.
Compared to last year, though, JJ, we were talking about this. This is something I want to ask Devin next hour on our Players Club is Devin Capucci. Like, compared to last year, like, where is this team, do you think, compared to last year in terms of – because they were on a huge high, and they almost felt unbeatable last year. And it's a different situation this year, obviously, because they're not going to be favored necessarily going into this one.
Yeah, they're not as healthy this year as they were last year.
Right.
They don't have Devin Lloyd and Nephi Sewell, which I think they missed this year. So they are in a different place. And are they playing a better team this year? You could definitely make that argument. But, guys, I'll ask you this. What win has been impressive on USC's resume? What win do they have that's just blown you away and thinking, man, these guys deserve a number four ranking in the country? Who is it?
There isn't one.
Scott says that all year. He's like,
100%.
Why should they fear these guys?
I don't think they do.
They shouldn't.
No, what it is it's the media hype. They know that if they talk about USC, because it's a team you talk about, Lincoln Riley, Caleb Williams, you know, that's the sexy thing from a national perspective. I mean, USC is the poster child, really, in college football. It's one of the top brands in all of college football. So if there's any chance that you can talk highly of USC, you're going to over-exaggerate it. The toughest game USC had all year was at Utah. The second toughest game, I think, was at Oregon State, and they almost lost that game.
Right.
So, yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't think Notre Dame's been a tough team. They didn't play
Washington.
They lost
to Stanford.
They didn't play Oregon. They didn't play anyone in the conference that or even their out-of-conference.
Didn't play Oregon.
No. One of the best games they had, probably the toughest non-conference, was at Notre Dame at home, and Notre Dame – you know, is not a very good team. I think Utah figured out a little bit about how to actually defend Caleb Williams. And I think when they started putting pressure on him, and then they would back off. And so they just kind of mixed it up between when are they coming with pressure and when are they not. It just – that seemed to make him the most uncomfortable when they were playing.
If the Utah defense is assignment sound, and if Cam Rising brings his best – I think Utah wins this game.
Yeah.
JJ, let's jump for at least a minute here, because this Utah Jazz team has a game tonight across the street over at Vivint Arena, and this is a team that's reeling a little bit. Boy, they miss Mike Conley right now.
Yeah, they do. A week ago when we were talking about the Jazz, they were in first place and now they're in eighth. That's crazy, right? So it's weird in the West this year. It's very tight. The margin for error is slim. We had a lot of high expectations for this team, but I think they've regressed to the mean. And so I'm still trying to figure out, is this team as good as their starter, or is they as bad as their last nine games? Because 7 out of 9 losses is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Do they miss Mike Conley this bad? What are the reasons? Why are they slipping right now? There's a lot of questions I have about this team right now. And one of the things I'll throw out there is they've played 6 more road games than home games. And so now they get to come home for the next few, and I think they have a chance to get back on track. We'll see when Mike Conley can get back, but I think this team just needs to play some home games. I think that they're as good as they flashed early in the season, and every team has these ups and downs and highs and lows, and I think they're going through a low right now, but back home and a chance to get back on track and against some really good teams.
Well, and a lot of games, I mean, they played a lot of games, you know, a lot of back-to-backs. And you look at Mike Conley, who's you know, the oldest player on the team, that pounding, that fatigue, all of those. And, you know, he hasn't been a guy that's really sat out much other, you know, than when he's been in. You have to wonder if that plays into it here. So I agree. It'll be interesting to see where where this team ends up when they have, when this all balances out in the end. Or do road games even matter these days?
Well,
they talk that they're not as impactful as maybe they used to be in the past. So we'll see.
They're killer. Are you kidding? And it's good because they're going to have four games in a row this week that are going to be at home. All four of their next games are going to be, I guess, five. It looks like their next five games. Six.
I think
six
it's
in
eight.
A row at home. No, not at home. They get six at home.
They have one road game in between that breaks up a bunch of home games. But it's a pretty long lot of home games coming up.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday of this week and Saturday, that's a back-to-back, but it's at least going to be – all those are going to be at home. And then next Wednesday also going to be at home, and the next Friday also at home. So then they go to Denver. But good to get six at home in a row because it's been such a tough go for them. But we're finding out a lot about this team. I think they're finding a lot about themselves as well. I know that sounds like that's not what you want to hear as a fan. And we're finding out a lot about ourselves. Like it's a little journey of self-exploring. But I still think that this team's way overperforming, and it's super fun to watch still. So looking forward to that tonight. You'll be able to get the pregame right here at 6 o'clock. And then you'll get the game, of course, on the Jazz Radio Network. JJ, thanks for hanging out with us, man. It's been a fun weekend. We were watching you guys all weekend long. The locals in the NFL were so much fun to watch because they're just having such a really, really good year as well. So if you miss any of that, you have to join JJ and Sam and all their coverage of their locals in the NFL and KSL Sports Live. So thanks for hanging out, JJ.
You got it. Yeah, we'll have Jazz highlights, and you'll hear from the Utes tonight at 6 and 10.
There you go.
Go
more
Utes!
More to go on the program here.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.